Will you join me in prayer? Gracious, loving God, we give you thanks this day for a beautiful morning, for the opportunity to take this time and make it sacred, to receive your love into our lives. What a gift, what gifts these are. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. A friend cherishes a rock he found in a river. It's one that you could pick up in almost any stream bottom. While it's pretty, it's not anything really extraordinary except to him. He was on his annual fishing trip when he found it, out there fishing in a stream in the UP. And he only brought home a river rock. But the rest of the story is that he was there all by himself. His fishing buddies were nowhere near when the wolf came down to the river's edge to drink. This was a full-grown, fearsome-looking animal. My friend thought he was upwind and the wolf hadn't smelled his presence, but he was frozen with fear. All he could do was keep as still as possible, knowing, hoping that the wolf would not notice him. The time dragged on as if it was an eternity. Then finally the wolf turned back toward the woods and trotted away. It felt like a miracle. Relief spread through him. He looked again, and the wolf really was gone. Then he looked down, and he bent down, and he picked up the rock that he had been staring at for the last 20 minutes to keep from making eye contact with the wolf. He put it in his pocket and walked on shaky legs back to camp and has cherished that stone ever since. Psalm 18 in the Bible could well have been the unspoken prayer on his lips. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about rocks. One of the names for God in Hebrew is El Salai, God the Rock. God who created humanity out of the stones and soil. God who sent people away from the Garden of Eden, but then Cain killed his brother with a rock. The people of Babel tried to build a tower up to heaven with rocks. Moses made water come out of a rock. The Ten Commandments were made out of stone. Joshua made an altar to God with the stones the Israelites had used to cross the Jordan River as they established Israel. Stoning was a method of execution legitimated in the Holiness Code in Leviticus. David used a stone to kill Goliath. When the prophet Samuel made an altar in thanksgiving to God after the Israelites routed the Philistines, he called it My Ebenezer, the stone of help. The devil tried to tempt Jesus to turning stones into bread. Jesus said that no loving parent would give a child a stone when he asked for bread. He declared that the cobblestone streets of Jerusalem would proclaim him Lord if the people were silenced. Peter he called the rock. He told the Pharisees to put down their stones. The millstone that covered the tomb was rolled away. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone of our faith. Stones and rocks are everywhere in the Bible. From stepping stones to stumbling blocks, the metaphors lift up many things. It's no surprise then that Ecclesiastes used them in his famous poem, saying that sometimes you gather them up and sometimes they're thrown away. But don't let that simple statement fool you. It was no reflective, objective statement. His words weren't about the stones themselves, but about the choices people make with what they do with them. Some stones are gathered to make altars. But Ecclesiastes may also have had the opposite in mind when he spoke of throwing stones away. He knew there was a particular and despicable practice that was used by Bible people. His words reference 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 19 and 25. The account there told about when the king of the Moab people made war on Israel. The Israeli prophet Elisha promised that God would help the Israelites triumph, and then Elisha dictated the military strategy they should follow. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 19. You shall conquer every fortified city. Every good tree you shall chop down. All springs of water you shall stop up. And every good piece of land you shall ruin with stones. And then chapter 25, verse 25. The cities they overturned. And on every good piece of land, everyone threw a stone until it was covered. Every spring of water they stopped up, and every good tree they chopped down. In war, there were more objectives than to simply defeat your foes. To the victor came the punishing act of ruining the enemy's land so that they could not cultivate it or plant anything there with which to feed themselves. Ecclesiastes had seen it done. He might have thrown rocks into fields himself. It was the way it was. The highest of human aspirations found in seeking God and building an altar for prayer were coupled with the lowest common denominator when pick up stones in hate to soil a field. There's a season for everything, said Ecclesiastes, and we are caught in them all. That's what makes the book frightening as well as relevant. The cycle of making war and taking revenge still goes on. Need I say anything about planting landmines or IEDs in an enemy field? Or about the unresolved anger in us and many people that comes back to burn so hotly when one is reminded of the bad treatment they feel they have received? Thanks be to God, there is a very different paradigm to lift up that stands in sacred contrast to that need for retribution. It comes, of course, from Jesus. When he said there is a time to throw away stones, he meant drop them, put them down in order to make peace. It was a tremendous and radical change to the conventions of society. He was calling for a moral sea change. And that, of course, was exemplified when some Pharisees came to him with a woman who had been caught in a compromising position. They were testing him, but they were also ready to do what the law required. The law of Moses, they said, this woman should be stoned to death. They were using the ancient holiness code in Leviticus to challenge Jesus. It had been the legal rule for 1,000 years. Thus it was written in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, if a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. A time to throw stones. Yet Jesus said, lay them down. And in doing so, he rejected the system and its misogyny. its judgment, its punishment, and its shame. He reversed the immoral inheritance of intolerance and condemnation, in particular that which dehumanized and marginalized women while protecting those men who abused them. Jesus' teaching is that the God of the rock is not about throwing stones. Put down the stones, lay down the weapons of retribution, revenge, and oppression. If you're going to gather stones together, let them be ones that serve as reminders and metaphors and symbols of when you have witnessed the goodness of God and one another. Think of when you have been loved, not judged. Remember the kindness of others and not your fear of them. Memorialize the mountaintop experiences of justice and peace and mercy. Gather those times together. These are when God, your rock, has been with you. That surely brings to mind and heart the beautiful and contemporary Jewish practice of putting stones on the grave markers of loved ones. Go to a Jewish cemetery. Look at the pebbles left as memorials to good memories and love and faithfulness. Those are the legacies worth gathering stones to commemorate. There is also a remembrance of an early Christian monk who put that into practice. The Egyptian abbot Paul. He's remembered in history because it is said that every day he would gather together 300 pebbles and he'd put them in his lap as counters. Counters for the 300 prayers he would make each day for other people in intercession. Those are the precious stones, the beautiful stones, and they are there for those with eyes to see. Quiet glimpses of beautiful things, random acts of kindness, loving friendships with caring people who are with us through thick and thin, whispers that come in the night to say, it will be all right. A church that seeks to live up to its calling through justice and compassion, humility, forgiveness, and patience. Teachings that keep rubbing up against us with ideals. Opportunities to put down the rock of judgment and chances to find a way to place a God moment in an opponent's hand. The Savior to stand in solidarity with us on the streets in the work for social justice. Merciful moral choices and the Savior to sit with us to take our problems to and to lift our hearts with the power of the Rock of Ages. This is the time, and today is the moment, to gather those stones together and to lay the burdening stones of judgment down. Credit all that to the rock that the builders rejected.